I trust you're having a great morning this morning. We're so thankful that you joined us for the Word for Life. Brother Gerald Fry is giving us some insights into God's creation, God's amazing plan. And Gerald, thank you so much for being with us and challenging our thinking and just the process of discovering how God is so amazing.
Well, thank you, Greg. It's my pleasure. It really is. We've been talking these last few sessions about the fact that God puts forth the challenge that he has made himself clear in the creation, and that the heavens declare his glory, that you can ask the beasts of the land or the fish of the sea, you can ask the earth itself, all of these will testify that the hand of the Lord has done this. And he says that we're without excuse, that he has made his presence manifest to us. And as we've discussed, that's general revelation,
yeah,
that as we look around us, we're supposed to have this understanding that there is this greater being. And the purpose of general revelation is always to lead us to specific revelation.
Yes,
in this
right.
case, the law of the Lord is perfect under converting the soul, the idea of the truth of Jesus Christ and
right.
God's love for us. Nevertheless, we have a culture that is designed to deny this general creation at every turn, obviously with the goal of obscuring or even eliminating the truth about the sun coming for us. And so what I thought I'd share today is a little bit of a history about somebody called Leonardo of Pisa. And in 1205, Leonardo lived in a very different culture, one in which, quite frankly, Thomas Aquinas was one of the major theologians of the time.
Okay.
And Thomas Aquinas wrote extensively about the teleological argument, the argument that the design, the very design of the universe, the very design of the earth, the very design of us, argued for God's presence, that it required a designer, a magnificent designer, and we agree with that.
Sure, exactly.
So in that context, in that environment, Leonardo of Pisa wrote a book about mathematics, of all things.
Okay.
And this is in 1205, and he writes, it's called Libra Abbadisi, and it means Book of the Squares or Book of the Numbers. And basically, his point was that Arabic numerals, the numbers we use today here in the U.S. and much of the Western world, are vastly superior to the convention of the day, which was Roman numerals and abaci. So they would use abacuses to put their decimal points, right? Because there's no decimal points in Roman numerals.
Right.
And so it took people of great skill to actually be able to use this combination of Roman numerals and abaci.
Mm-hmm.
And you've all seen the little things moving around.
That's
an abacus, how they kept track of everything. Trade was done, accounts were settled. This was the way of accounting in that world. And his argument was that these Arabic numerals were much, much more superior. And he had a whole series of mathematical arguments and practical arguments. But the most interesting, and the one I'll share with you, is his theological argument, why this was better, a superior system. And the argument was that these numbers could be used to create sequences or patterns that clearly described nature. And the thought was that if they described nature, it's clearly a methodology closer to God and God's nature. Nature's God, even the way we've designed our constitution.
Okay, all right.
And so this sequence or pattern that we're talking about is commonly known today as the Fibonacci sequence. And so you'll hear it in Dan Brown's books, you know, the Da Vinci Code and things like this. And there was a TV show called Touch with Keith Sutherland that was organized around this idea. But here's the basic idea, that this series is all integers. Those are whole numbers. And all you have to do to create the series is take the first two, 0 and 1. And then the next one in the series is always the addition of the previous two.
Okay.
So you end up with a series that is 0-1. The next one would be 1. The last two are 1-1, so the next one would be 2. So you get 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 88. So it goes on. It's an infinite series.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue is that when you divide one value in the series from the value immediately before it or immediate after it, a number emerges.
Mm-hmm.
And this number is called phi, not pi, not 22/7, right? Phi, it's 1.618. And it is also an infinite number, so it's an irrational number.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, this irrational number is called the golden angle or the golden ratio. So it turns out that the human body is organized around this number. So that if you take the distance from your belly button to your head and then down to your bottom, you'll have a ratio between the belly button, the value in one direction, and the value in the other of 1.6.
Okay.
Almost inevitably. I'm a little dumpy, so maybe not quite, but, you know, the fact of the matter is there are 118 expressions of that value in the human hand. And it happens between every knuckle. It happens between the fingers themselves. It happens on the vertical plane. It happens on the horizontal plane, and it happens radially. So you need to see it to believe it.
Okay.
But it's stunning. When we go down to our very DNA and we look at the double helix,
mm-hmm.
the double helix is organized around 13 and 21. So there's these Fibonacci sequences, Fibonacci numbers. Then as we get out into the world of botany, you look at a pine cone. Pine cones have something called phyllotaxis. That means that there's a series of the cones going in one direction, and there's a contrabanding series going in the other direction. So if you go out and you count them with your kids, you will find that they're always adjacent Fibonacci numbers.
Hmm.
So if there's 8 in one direction, it'll be 5 in the other, or 13, etc. And so you'll find it in pineapples and apples, and you'll find it in almost everything in nature.
Hmm.
You will find it in the structure of trees. So how many branches there are will be a Fibonacci sequence relationship as it moves up. How many leaves are on the trees? When you get to plants, it's actually how many spores there are in many cases. It's an amazing number that seems to describe about 95% of botany. There's another series that seems to describe the other five.
It's
slightly different.
Okay.
Nevertheless, in many cases and for centuries, this series was called the fingerprint of God. It was actually part of training. Remember, he was trying to prove to the mathematical world that the Arabic numerals were superior because these things were able to identify or describe God's universe.
Right, right. In 1205.
In 1205.
Oof.
And so if you go back to our history, the University of Pennsylvania actually has something called the quadrivium and the trivium. It was the seven things that everybody needed to know. Fibonacci sequence is one of those things. Mm. It's actually in the foundation of Penn State's logo to this day.
My goodness.
So these kinds of things, this idea of this antipathy towards the creation or the creator is not necessarily historical. There were many times in our history that we actually were of the understanding. In other words, the general revelation was something that was readily accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mean to say that the cultures accepted God. I just mean they accepted that there was a God, that there were creators, there were higher beings that needed to be dealt with. And so this Fibonacci sequence we find in much of human design. So whenever you think of things that are 3x5, switch plates, cards, credit cards, they're all Fibonacci sequences.
Mm.
When you go to Google, Wikipedia, any of these websites, they're all designed with Fibonacci ratios in mind. The reason is the human eye picks up information faster on the horizontal plane if it's organized in these ratios.
And they've actually done research.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is all. And so when you go to reconstructive surgery, the tools for the spacing between your teeth, the spacing between your eyes, how they should puff up cheeks, all of that, those are all related to Fibonacci sequence.
My
and
goodness.
As a result, one of the things that's kind of haunting for most people is the Mona Lisa is not what we would normally think of as beauty.
Yeah,
right? She's
yeah.
not like a supermodel.
Right, right, exactly.
But on the other hand, nearly all cultures, everybody's drawn to this.
Hmm.
It's interesting that when you take a golden rectangle, a golden pentagram, a golden triangle, a golden line, the Mona Lisa is perfectly aligned with every one of them. So it's fairly clear to us that Raphael, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, all of these great artists of the Middle Ages, or the Renaissance, they all understood these ratios and used them. And these ratios are not only in the proportions of the people, but the relation of the people as you look for perspective. And this is why some of that art is so good. And a part of it is because it appeals to the way we are actually designed as people. So we can take in the information better. And so our assessment of beauty is based on adherence to these ratios and relationships. And so it is that, again, just another one of those, you can call it a curiosity, or you can call it one of these things where God chooses to work anonymously, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that there are lots of things in nature. It almost doesn't matter where you look, you will find something that screams out for the Creator.
Now, once he wrote this book in 1205, was it readily accepted, or did he go through a lot of grief of people trying to poo-hoo it?
Enormous grief. It took 300 years before we moved to the Arabic system.
300 years.
Yeah, so typical of people who have great discoveries.
Right,
you know, we
right,
don't always
exactly.
get on it right away.
So don't be depressed when folks don't accept what you and I say.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's so vitally important that what we say is in the written word of God. So we're not saying it. We're just telling folks what God has said. And it's been around for hundreds of years, and what a blessing it is to be able to have his truth that we can share with others. You know, folks, this is exactly what Brother Fry is wanting to do tomorrow night, Tuesday night, April 14th, here at Brookside Baptist Church. That's 7 p.m. And the topic is Exalting Evolution. Their foolish hearts were darkened. And I'd just love to have you bring your whole family, bring your teenagers and your young adults, especially those that have inquiring minds that may feel like we've heard the other side. We've heard the evolutionary theory presented as fact, but is there an answer from God's Word? And the answer is yes. So plan to join us tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, and I know your family will be challenged, excited, and their faith strengthened as they join us at that time. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a wonderful way.